Well, I was going to share one scripture this morning on about giving today. Hallelujah. Every once in a while we're having a little bit of a little mini short thing. But this one's found in Psalm chapter 35. One of my favorites, and it goes right along here with this worship. Psalm 35, verse 27. And it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." And the psalmist David goes on, and he said, "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Yes. Hallelujah. 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 It was just right here. Let them shout for joy. Be glad. The Lord delights in your prosperity. Okay. He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He's trying to get it over to us. Yes. Amen. And one way that we can do that is with worship. Worship defeats poverty. It really does. Yes. When we begin to worship God and we cast our care on Him and we see Him as our ultimate source, you know, we know that we've mentioned it Wednesday night, you know, we have to have some way of money coming in. You've got to have some kind of a resource, you know, some kind of a generator, you know, that's going to generate wealth for you. And, you know, I just happen to mention, you know, there's basically four or five ways that you really generate wealth or money, you know. I mean, you get a good paying job or a decent job, you know, you have a job that you go to, you can start a business. You may invest, you know, basically there's paper money, you know, you can invest in stocks and bonds and other things. And, you know, and there's real estate, you know, it's basically, I mean, that's part of business, but really it's kind of a different thing too. And, those are basically the ways money mostly comes to us, you know. I mean, now there's other things we can do, you know, you say, well, there's all kinds of businesses, exactly, you know, but basically it's through business or through some way in the earth. The money's not up in heaven. God's not going to just rain it down on us, but we're going to believe Him. And it's, now I'm not saying, I'm not trying to stop, you know, God can cause, you know, speak to people to give to us, but I think sometimes in the charismatic world, we get so caught up, we want to believe that we're going to get some supernatural miracle all the time when God wants us to live as a steward.
Yes.
With what we already have.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And for me, you know, I'm not saying you may not be there, you know, maybe you have a lot of debt or maybe you have a lot of things, but that can change if we're diligent and we seek God and we ask Him for wisdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in my case, I asked God for wisdom and it wasn't the big things that made the difference. It was a little bit here, $20 there, $50 here, you know, and just the little things. And with the money I already had, He produced, you know, that, you know, it was just being consistent. That amount of money, you know, and you have to be diligent. You know, it may mean you don't eat a hamburger out for, you know, a year or two. You know, you may not have any food out for a while. And sometimes you have to deny the flesh and say, okay, Lord, I got myself into this mess, or we, you know, somehow, you know, I mean, maybe it wasn't even your fault, you know, but you got there. You know, but God has a way when we're diligent, and it's not always everything spiritual, but the things in this world are natural. And when the spiritual and the natural come together, I know, you know, there's an explosive force for God, and there is. You know, we take the word of God and we don't stop letting God be our source. Well, remember, He's our source. You know, and sometimes the way our money comes in, it could be different ways and change over your life. I mean, you may work a job for a while and start a small business and eventually leave your job and run a business, you know, or have, you know, occasionally people get a little inheritance. It's usually not a lot, but you may get something, you know, and when we're wise and we use that diligently and invest, you know. For example, okay, if I make enough money, I make a certain amount of money, if I can live on 70%, I can give 10%, I've got 20% here, you know, in which I could use, you know, maybe if I'm in debt, I may want to put it all on my debt, but it's seeking the Lord. I have something to seek the Lord with. You know, what am I going to do with this, Lord? He may have you save it for a long time. He might just save it for a long time, and then he tells you to buy some piece of property, and it goes great way up in value, and you make a lot of money. You know, I mean, all sorts of things. I know there's one lady in particular that Paul Young D. Cho was talking about. The Lord told her one day to buy this piece of property. It looked like this just the field out here, and it wasn't that, you know, it was a little bit of money, but it wasn't that expensive at the time. But the city began to build out toward her property and more, and she became a millionaire off of a few thousand dollar piece of property. And God can do that for you. It may take some time, you know, but if we're faithful and we hear his voice, yes, we can all prosper. He delights in our prosperity. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. We don't have to be poverty mentality.
Amen.
You know, I mean, when we don't have enough, see, then everybody says, well, you know, Jesus didn't say throw your money in the bucket. He didn't. He said, consider the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. See, us being taken care of is just by his grace alone. I mean, he loves us because we're his children. He'll take care of us. You know, but if we really want to become prosperous with the Lord, then we have to become stewards of what he gives us. You know, stewards of our time, stewards of our money, stewards of our relationships, you know. So all of those things are part of prospering. And when they come in order with the Word of God and with his way of doing things, you know, we do it righteously. We don't cheat people. We don't steal from people. You know, we the Bible says to mind their own business, you know, and work unto the Lord, that he is our provider, and we're quiet. We don't have to brag about it. We don't have to tell everybody how much God's blessing us. You know, it's great to have good testimony, but, you know, but the thing is to trust in the Lord with all our heart, amen, and to realize he wants me. He delights, he gets happy when you prosper. Glory to God. And our tongue continues to praise him. So let them shout for joy, be glad, that favor my righteous cause. Let them say what? Continually. Oh, Lord, be magnified. Thank you, Lord. Exalt you. I thank you that you delight in my prosperity. You don't want me to be poor, Lord. You know, and everybody says, well, what is prosperity? Well, I believe it's that when you have enough to fulfill what God's called you to do, and then you also have some extra that you can give and maybe help someone fulfill their call. You know, where you're not just believing God, everything is not a crisis in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you have something here. You know, if I'm wise, you know, the Bible says he who saves little by little will be rich. Yes. Well, I've only got a little bit to save, but if you continually do that, yep, you know, even if you're 100, you know, and you keep saving a little bit and you lived 110, you know, you still got something. Hallelujah, you know. And so God's wanting us to be faithful stewards. And that's what I'm seeing more and more in the Word of God, that yes, we're blessed, but we're not, you know, we bless the Lord and we give out of, because we know he blesses us. He blesses the work of our hands. He blesses our business. He blesses our investments. You know, he blesses our homes. He blesses us in every way he can. And so we can continually rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And because I know I'm blessed, I'm not afraid to give. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, hallelujah. It's good anyhow. It's always good. It's
always good.
You can't help out, you know, they say you can't outgive God. I think you could if you give beyond your means, you know. If you start giving all your money away, you know, that's a Judas spirit. Mm-hmm. He wanted to keep the money. Oh, don't spend that perfume on Jesus. We could sell that and give that money to the poor. That's what Judas wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have that money. Oh, well, we could, you know, whether he was going to pilfer a little bit of it or what, but, you know, his heart was not. You know, Jesus was not worried about the little perfume. He wasn't poor. Mm. You know, he wasn't worried about this perfume being poured out. I mean, he said, oh, poor Jesus. No, Jesus was not poor. He worked hard during his lifetime. I believe he was a good, you know, I mean, a carpenter or builder, you know, stoneman. I believe he and Joseph had a great business, you know. He learned from his father. He wasn't some slouch. Mm-hmm. You know, he worked hard.
Yeah.
and he learned things from his father. You know, time he was 30, apparently he had enough money to do his whole ministry. You know, you don't have a treasure if you got nothing. You know, hallelujah. I wouldn't need a treasure, you know, right now in my life, but someday I might, you know, if I get into the billions, you know, or something, but, you know, or lots of money, you know, so, but, praise the Lord. All right. I don't know why I got off on that, but I said it anyway. Can't take the words back now.
See,
words are like in the toothpaste, you know, if you squeeze it out, you know, there it is. Try putting it back in that tube. You just can't do it. You know, we can't take back the words that we say. That's why we should be careful, you know, especially when we're talking for you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your word today. Yes. We thank you that it come forth the way you desire from your heart, Lord Jesus, that we learn and we understand even more, Father, who you are and how you change our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about how the seed of the Word of God brings forth some fruit, and we've been looking at that, and how meditation of the Word of God affects our life. You know, that Romans 12:1-2, we present our bodies, you know. We present our body, what a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And we're not conformed to this world. In other words, doesn't mean if you are conformed, then we can be, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. And transformation is not just a discipline to do better. It's really not. It's something that takes place as we get that Word of God in our mind and we get it a part of us and we start saying it with our mouth, like the Lord had said earlier, you know, the psalmist David said, I'm going to praise the Lord continually.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's a continual, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we take the Word of God, we think about it, we meditate on it, and we let it become a part of us. And we looked at Luke chapter 14 last time and on Wednesday night, and we were just saying Jesus has to be number one, right? Amen. That's the first step. If he's not number one in our life, that was, we'll read it real quick. Luke 14. And I'll read a couple of verses here. I know we read it the other night. But... And verse 26. We'll go there for a minute. Let everybody get there. Hallelujah. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Hallelujah. So we saw there that he cannot be my disciple. And then here in the verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. So we were just saying, number one is that our life has become like Jesus and compared to our love for God. And if we really love God, then I was saying, explaining that yes, we're going to love our family, but it's not going to be above the Lord Jesus. He's number one no matter what. You know, the Bible says if your father and mother forsake someone, the Lord will take them up. He'll take you up. You know, even if our family forsakes us, we still serve the Lord. He's number one. And I know we didn't really make it a rule, but, you know, if people come to our house on Sunday or if they're over, we still go to church. We don't make them necessarily go, but we invite them to come with us. And we expect, you know, that they'll either wait for us or, you know, we'll be at church. So that's just what we do. You know, they don't, you know, if they don't come, then they are welcome to stay home at the house and enjoy themselves. But, you know, we'll be at church. If you'd like to join us, that's where we are. We'll be home this afternoon and have you dinner and all those things. But God is number one. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying everybody, you know, I'm not trying to put a lie out for you. You know, that's not in the Bible. You have to be there every single service, but we should make a commitment to the Lord. It's not, my commitment is not to the pastor. It's not to, somebody else, but our commitment is to the Lord. Whatever we do as unto the Lord. You know, if he put it in your heart to do it, then that's what we do. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So, we also looked at Psalm chapter 1, because we're looking at the Word of God, and we saw the five areas there, some five things that happen as we're meditating the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1. I should have put my little stickers in there, and I didn't. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1. But, and it says, blessed is the man that, okay, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does or doeth shall prosper. So here's another, but he puts some conditions here. Number one, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We talked about that a little bit. You know, we're not looking to people of the world for our counsel. I know some people that get some, sometimes, you know, people can get a little bit from a worldly thing, you know, but I know people have got terrible counsel, you know. My own brother-in-law went to get counsel from the world, you know. And it was all his parents' fault, all the mother and dad's fault, and what they did and how they acted. Well, that doesn't help anybody, because it doesn't matter what happens to us in life. It's our response, and we're responsible for our own life. Yes. And we have to take responsibility for that and not walk according to the way of the world, which we saw earlier. Don't let the world conform, put you into their mold. Amen. We don't want to be conformed to that any longer, but we want to be transformed. In other words, we may get saved and we may have some things that are conformed to the world. But with the Word of God, we begin to become transformed. Yes. And we put off those things. You know, like Ephesians 4, you know, we put off the old man, we put on the new man. And that's one. We don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't stand in the way of sinners. You know, that's not where we put most of our time is, you know, not that we can't have a sinner friend, but we don't just make them our best friend. You know, we're friends with the world. We want to be a witness to the world, mm-hmm. but we don't take on their style of living. Amen. Mm-hmm. We don't stand in that. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful, mm-hmm. those that are constantly scorning. And, you know, there's some people that aren't good for me to be around even in the church, because sometimes people become scornful.
Yep.
You know, and maybe they're not scornful at everybody, but they don't receive from me. I had a friend like that, and he would say, oh, brother, I appreciate you. I know you're further in the word than I am, and I'm teachable, and you can share with me, but it wasn't really true. I mean, not that he didn't want to have that kind of heart, but it wasn't so, and they would scorn me and say things that derided me. And I realized, hey, this is not a good friendship. You know, I think I'll just kind of be on the outside, and we are friends, but we're not close. You know, we can never be there. I just don't talk about the ministry with him. I don't talk about the Lord. I don't try to tell him anything. I just listen and be a friend in that manner. And, you know, praise God when great things happen. But, you know, sometimes you have to let some people go completely. You know, he doesn't want us to have all the ungodly and people, mm-hmm. friends that are scorn us. And number four, but his delight, our delight is in the law of the Lord. And you say, well, maybe you don't have a great delight in the Word of God right now. You know, a good psalm to read is Psalm 119.
Yes.
Just read it over and over again and begin to let the Lord help you develop a love for the Word of God. Because the Word of God is his love letter to us. I mean, you know, you wouldn't read it one time if you had somebody that you really love and they write you a letter. You read it over and over. You want to, you know, especially if they're far away, you want to get to know that person. I remember one particular lady was sharing where she had a child out of wedlock and she had to make a decision. Her father was a pastor, her mother, you know, and she wanted to do all the right things, but her and this guy got carried away and they had a experience and they had a she had a child and she had to make a decision. And she decided to adopt that child out. And at that time, you didn't get to know where it was or anything. It was just closed. But she was allowed to write letters and put into that folder in the hopes that one day she would meet her daughter. And one day she got this letter in the mail, and her daughter, you know, said, "I'm not really ready to meet you yet, but this is what's going on in my life." And she said she would just cherish those letters and read them over and over. And that's how God's word can become to us a letter of love. And we read them over and over. "Yes, Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Father, that you created me. I was created in God's image." It never gets old. You know, that first chapter of Genesis, we're created in the very image of God. I mean, that is amazing. That is amazing. Just the thought of it. You know, created like him. Yes. In the same class as God. Mm-hmm. And yet if you look at the earth, it's like a speck of dust in a beam of the sun compared to the vast universe. And you're like, wow. You know, and God cares. You know, that's why so I hear David. I can hear him saying, "Why, Lord? You know, what is man that you're mindful of us?" Yeah. We are like, you know, we're like, you know, so small and compared to God and compared to the universe. Yet God cares for us. Mm. You know, and he made us like him. Anyway, I don't know why I got on that, but it was good anyhow. Anyway, we don't sit in that seat of the scornful. We don't, what we're delighting in the law of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. In his word. And in his law, or in his word, doth he meditate day and night. Yes. Amen. The morning, evening, find something. You know, sometimes I think we discredit meditation. You know, it's good to read a whole book of the Bible, but it's also good sometimes just to get you a little one or two verses or one verse that you're thinking about. Maybe that's the only verse you think about all day. Yeah. How about that one in John, you know, 1 John 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because what greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world?" You know, you are of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Just to think about that. You know, I'm of God. And we take it, we think about it. That's what it means to meditate, to mull it over in our mind, over and over. I'm of God. Wow. Man, I'm a chip off the, you know, off the old block, you know, or the old man, you know. We say that in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, it's so true. You know, it's sometimes in our natural mind, you know, it gets in the way and it, you know, we don't always remember everything that way. That's why we need the Word of God. We don't forget him and how he is. But anyway, that's the meditation, and there's the promise. You're going to be like that tree planted by rivers of water, mm-hmm. bringing forth the fruit in season. Mm-hmm. Our leaf will not wither. Hallelujah. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good news. That is good news. You know, we're not like the ungodly. They don't have that promise. We've got the promise from God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we talked about. I know we talked about it Wednesday night. I'm kind of reviewing here. Maybe I'm taking longer than I should, but it's all right. Repetition, one of the greatest ways to learn something. How'd you learn your timetables? I went over and over and over again, you know. And then when you didn't know them good enough, you went over them again. When the teacher says, "Not quite, almost, keep going." And eventually, they were just a part of your life. One times one is one. All those zeros and ones were easy, but after you get, you know, beyond that, it starts getting harder, doesn't it? Anyway, hallelujah. We looked here a little bit in Luke chapter 6. You know, we were talking about out of that heart, our heart has been changed, our life's been changed, and out of that comes that good treasure. Verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say?" 47, "Whosoever shall come to me and heareth my sayings and does them, he will show you to whom he is like. He is like the man which built a house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and does not is like the man without a foundation, built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We can see here that when we dig deep, we take the Word of God, and we're putting ourselves, laying a good foundation of His Word within our heart. You know, by that meditation, by that seeking, we find that gives us the rock, the foundation which we can stand. When all else fails, we know that God and His Word are the same. He doesn't change. I'm telling you, if that doesn't bring you some comfort. Mm-hmm. Right now in this world, if you sit around and you're watching TV all day, you know, you could be bound by fear and, you know, worried about what's going on. You think you're going to get sick if I even walk out the front door. I mean, that's the way it sounds. I mean, these people are preachers of bad news. And we got to believe God's Word. And when His Word is truth, then we can say no in Jesus' name. I say that sickness is dying, not just over me, but over others, Lord. Hallelujah. Once we get some victory in our life, we can stand with others. You know, and we can come together. And sometimes, I mean, even if you're battling, you know, sometimes we might have a battle in our life. You know, there's people have gotten other people healed anyway. Yeah. I knew one man, he looked like he's on his deathbed. Well, they took him over to another guy and he raised him from the dead. Everybody's like, well, how could that be? I know it didn't go with your theology or mine, but it still happened. Yes. You know, now we don't base our life on experience. The Word of God says he's healed and he was standing. And later he came off his sick bed and he was fine. But it took some standing. He had to continue to stand for his own life. And, you know, there are things that, you know, we may have great faith in one area of our life, but maybe not in the other. But when we put the Word of God in, we can begin to grow in those areas too. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Anyway, some of us, you know, we want to treat that time and the things of the Word of God as a priority. Mm-hmm. When you put His Word first, I'm getting way off my notes here, so that's okay. No, a lot of times I do, but I'm preaching good anyway. You know, but you know, we can, you know, stay the same for a long time if we don't really decide to change. It's really true. I mean, maybe you've had that in your life. I know I probably have a year or two, and you think, oh man, have I really changed much? But if you're putting the Word of God in, sometimes it doesn't seem like it. But then all of a sudden you realize, wow, I am changing. God is changing me. My mind is thinking differently. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about it like I used to. So I've got areas of my life, I mean, I wasn't thinking right. I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily all your fault because you have those thoughts. Mm-hmm. But those thoughts can change. You know, maybe somebody told you you're stupid all your life. Mm-hmm. You know, and you believed it. And sometimes we internalize those things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes from kids. They can be really mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they kept telling it to you and you kept listening. Somebody told you. Didn't matter who it was. You know, but they kept telling you those things. Or somebody else, you know, you never amount to anything. Mm-hmm. These are words that can carry into people's life. And there's a lot of people, you know, I've had that in my life, you know, where I lacked confidence. But I'm looking not to look to my confidence, but to God's confidence, to Him, His ability that He placed on the inside. Mm-hmm. Because our spirit is different than our flesh. Mm-hmm. And our fleshly abilities can even be improved when we look to God and we say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Come into this situation. Help me here. Yeah. Help me in this situation. Help me to solve the problem, Lord. I will help you, he said. I mean, that's one of the best prayers there is, Lord, help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he said, you know, we come to him, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I'm lost. I admit my inability of my own self. But I trust in the Lord. You got to remember, the psalmist David, he would cry to the Lord, but he always said, Lord, I trust in you. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're good. I know that you're coming through. It's not the situations and the things that happen to us in life, but it's our response to those things. It can be devastating. It can be horrible. I just had a friend of mine who called and asked us to stand with him in prayer. You know, his daughter and grandson were thrown from a vehicle, totally just ejected from the car. I don't know if they were, you know, everybody says, well, were they wearing their seatbelts? I have no idea. You know, it's not what, you know, right now that's not the issue, you know. It's not time to say that to him, you know. But we had, you know, he asked us to stand, and his grandson had broken his leg in three or four places, and he was responding fine. He's about 7 years old. He was responding okay, but his daughter was just totally, basically in a coma. You know, she just hadn't opened her eyes. And after 6 days, she opened her eyes for the first time. You know, and then the next day, he came in, and she began to talk, and she began to move every limb in her body. Total miracle.
Hallelujah.
You know, and he was rejoicing, you know, but sometimes in those times, you know, it's life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says life and death in the power of the
tongue.
You know, I noticed him. I was just watching him. He was watching his words so careful.
Mm-hmm.
Please stand with us. He didn't go into all the details. How many know sometimes when you hear all the details and you rehearse all these things and your faith runs out your feet.
Yep, yep. And brings fear.
You know, and your heart is like, they're going to die. You know, your thoughts become different, you know. And so, but that's where the Word of God can come in.
Yes.
In spite of, amen. And we say, no, they'll live and not die.
Right.
I resist those thoughts. They're not going to die, but live and declare the works of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All things, as we sung about this morning, all things are possible.
Yes.
Glory to God. This is a good positive message, but hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 11, verse 3. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 11. I like this verse.
Mm-hmm.
The Psalms are a wonderful thing. If you're depressed, read the Psalms. Mm-hmm. You'll come out of it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just keep reading them. You read them long enough, you'll definitely come out of that. Glory to God.
Yes.
Verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, as we talked about earlier, the foundation, you know, was built upon the rock. And the storm came, but they were not moved. So if the foundations are destroyed, there's not much we could do at all. Hallelujah. But the Lord is his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, the eyelids try the children of men. His eyelids try the children of men. But the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates. The Lord does like the violent or the, you know, the evil way. But he says if it's not destroyed, if the foundation isn't destroyed, then we could say if it was destroyed, what could we do? But it's not destroyed. We've got the Word of God. If we keep that in our heart, and that foundation stays strong, then we're going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is destroyed, if we allow ourselves to be built on the sand or the system of the world, as we would say, you know, then our heart, you know, we don't have any confidence toward God because we're not on his plan, on his purpose. You know, when we know his will, we have confidence with God. There's things that the believer can have confidence. We can have confidence that we're going to enjoy our children. We can have confidence in God. It's his promise that our children will be saved. Our household can be saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Everybody said, well, you know, it was, you know, well, God's not a respecter of persons. And if the Philippian jailer was saved in his house, I can be saved in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because God does not respect a person. And God said it's his desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He said to pray that the heathen would be saved. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance,
yes,
the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession.
Yes.
These are the promises of the Word of God. I mean, we could go through and say, well, here's all the great things that we like to say. Well, God's, you know, yes, his blessing is upon us, but it's upon us for good. He said he gives us power to get well, ability, strength, wisdom. See, these are more tools much more tools than a lot of other things. You know, sometimes we think, you know, well, maturity, well, that's the guy that's getting all the words of knowledge and he's just out in the spirit. And, you know, well, I had a guy one time, he was supposed to help us. You know, he was so out in the spirit, he couldn't do anything. You know, he's just, oh, well, I just stay in the spirit, brother. No, you're just lazy and you don't want to work.
Yeah.
You know, this is what it comes down to. He's using it as an excuse. That's an excuse sometimes that people will do, you know, or give because they don't want to do anything. Well, I'm just in the spirit, you know. Well, whatever that means to them, I don't know. But I found out when people get in the spirit, things happen.
Yes.
I mean, Elijah, when he finally got out of his depression, you know, he ran in the power of the cake, you know. Elijah, when he's under the juniper tree, when he came out of depression, he could run long ways. He did a lot. He took off, man. Nobody could stop him. God began to encourage him. He found the voice of the Lord. And it wasn't in that great wind, and it wasn't in all the commotion, and it wasn't in the great fire, but it was in the still small voice of the Father. And many times I believe God is speaking to us. Down on the inside, you get that hunch, you get that desire, something comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's the foundation. And, you know, of course, with us, we've got pretty much four things in our foundation. And I know you all know what they are. But we'll say them again. You know, when we worship God. Sometimes people resist worship. You know, but I know, you know, and maybe they have a reason that they do. There's some reason there. But when we do begin to worship, God can break things down. I know in my own life, I began to worship God before I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was hearing all these worship songs, not in church, on the radio. I'd be driving my car, doing this paper out, and I thought, man, these are such good worship songs. And I began to worship the Lord, you know. And the time I got home, you know, I've been throwing my papers for an hour and a half. I was like, wow, you know. But it opens our heart to the Lord. You know, and sometimes we're afraid, you know, I think they get a little afraid of that. They start feeling the love for the first time. I took some guys from the prison to the church and they would come in and sometimes the presence of God, they would be so overwhelmed. They didn't know how to react. They'd run out into the lobby, you know, and some of them start crying, you know, they don't want to see anybody, you know, and I was responsible for them. I got to make sure they're not running off, you know. But none of them ever did, praise God. But I'd be praying, believe me. It would be an easy thing to do there, too, because you could just call somebody and meet them there and be gone. I wouldn't know where they were. I'm not really totally responsible for that, but that was my job. I could make sure they get back. You know, they're supposed to behave themselves and get back. But, you know, they come out to the lobby and, you know, they don't know how to respond. I said, it's okay. You don't have to know everything right now. You don't have to understand. It's just the Lord's just loving you. And they've never experienced the touch of the love of the Father in their life. A touch from God. And I know one particular man, his name, they called him Frog. And he got touched by the power of God. And he would talk about it. I mean, he didn't necessarily commit his life fully to the Lord, but he could never forget the experience. He would talk about it all the time. You know, and it's just something that he could not, you know, deny. God touched me. And I'm telling you guys, God's real. You know, he'd tell them God's real, you know. He didn't know all the words. He didn't have all the things down. But sometimes I think, you know, some of the people they first get saved, you know, they know all the sinners. They're great, you know, testimonies for the Lord. They got people all around them. And, you know, they may not have all the right theology, but, you know, they might just wash you into the kingdom. All I know is I gave my heart to God and he's real. Yes. I mean, no one can deny your personal experience with Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Anyway, worship. Hallelujah. Worship's wonderful. Hallelujah. And if you feel like you're not getting enough worship in church, you're very free. You're welcome to worship at home as long as you like. You know, maybe take an hour off your sleep and worship God. You know, hallelujah. Get up an hour earlier, go to bed an hour later, somewhere. You know, or maybe you got 15 minutes on your lunchtime. Worship God. Amen. The Word of God. We know that. That's our second foundation, right? To study, to meditate, to, you know, confess the Word of God, to speak it out of our mouth, to be thinking about it, to be studying it. Prayer. Amen. Primarily praying in tongues, you know, but also other forms of prayer, all manner of prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying in the Spirit always with all manner of prayer. I know all of you know that verse now if you've been listening to Brother Hagin, for sure. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's one of our verses there. And then you may need a little fasting here and there occasionally. You know, if you come to something that's really strong, you may need to fast a day or two or however long the Lord may lead you. You know, he may lead you into longer fast, but, you know, especially when people first get saved, I don't try to get them in the fasting right away. I mean, that's you know, but if you find yourself in a stronghold or something that's holding you back, a little fasting may just push you right through. Yeah. See, we don't stop when we run into resistance. That's when we want to push through and keep going. And many times that's when you're doing the most good. You know, when you're just free flowing and you're just talking to the Lord, that's good. But you know, when you have that resistance, sometimes we're changing something. When you come out that other side, woo, glory. I don't know if you've ever had it, but I've had those things happen. And I thought, wow, I thought I got saved again almost. You know, I mean, it's that glorious for a while. It doesn't always stay there because we get used to the places that we begin to walk in. The Lord had explained that to me because I came out of, you know, just this, well, the sphere that had been controlling my life all this time. And I've been working on it for like 2 years. It all came to a head and whoo, wow. And I thought, wow, man, maybe I got saved again almost, but it felt that way, you know. And I mean, I'm on cloud nine and, you know, for a few days and maybe a week or so, it's doing great. But then the Lord began to talk to me. He said, now, son, it doesn't mean you're not free because you don't feel that freedom because we become used to, you know, those things. And then a few days and, you know, by the time the 2 weeks over, it didn't feel free, but I was free. Because it became a part of me. I was actually transformed into that freedom. Hallelujah. Woo. Transformation's a wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. So, okay, and we said, the foundation was destroyed. What can the righteous do? Anyway, they can't do very much at all. And we want to keep up on those things and maybe set our life, you know, and our godly disciplines, because in those disciplines, that's what causes permanent change in our life, to be honest. So I'm just going to talk to you from my heart because that's what I found, you know, in the prayer and the worship. It's not that that's not all that God fellowships with. He talks to you all the time. I remember when I was working at this building. Oh, it was back in, I don't remember the year, but maybe 2008 or something like that, or even 7, I don't know. But anyway, I was just kind of practicing more of listening to the Lord, and I was doing that at my job one night, and I'm up on the floors, and I had to go check, see if any, just to find out if anybody's up there and make a mark that we got somebody on that floor. And so I'm looking around, so I was asking the Lord, anybody on this floor, you know, and I was just listening, you know, oh, I think somebody's on the other side. I go over there, oh, sure enough, they're there. Praise God. Hey, Lord, that's good. You know, I'm practicing. I'm just kind of practicing, listening to him. I went down to one floor, and I said, Lord, is anybody on this floor? He said, yeah, there's one guy on this floor. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, one guy on this floor. He says, it's a security guard. You know, it was me, you know, like, he was making like a joke with me. And I was, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but it was really interesting because he was just, it was like he was just teaching me and having fun with it, you know, like a father or a mother would, you know, and he just, it was just awesome, you know, that the reality of who he is and you know, we were just talking and communing and I wasn't on my knees praying, you know, but we were still there and I was listening and he was listening to me and we had something, you know, we had that time going, you know, and everything that we do, if we can remember, it's not always easy, but we can learn that. Yeah. I don't know if anybody of you heard about that. There's a book about Brother Lawrence, his letters. He was a Catholic, whatever you call that, monk. Yeah, a monk. Yeah. You know, he's out there and he would practice God's presence in every little task he's doing. When he's doing the dishes, he's picking up the trash. And he said it took him about 4 years to really get where he could just, in everything, he was practicing letting God's presence be in those things. And it got so strong in his life that people would come. He would just sit in the building. He would just be sitting there. And people would come and sit in the seats and they would get help. He wasn't saying anything. He wasn't really even, you know, he was just worshiping God from his heart. But he so taught himself to do that. And such a presence would come. People would say, I don't understand it, but it helps me. I get help. You know, we've sat in those presences of the Lord. And we know how much it helps us. It strengthens us and brings him in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where I am now. Maybe that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But those are the things that take us in, you know, when we keep these, where we're talking about the four areas, you know, where we keep ourselves sturdy and firm, you know, and strong. And if something in your life is not that strong, maybe you're not strong in the Word of God, or you're not strong in, you know, in prayer or whatever it may be. You know, those things can change as we practice them. We want to maybe, you know, you may take a little time to put a little extra effort in that area so that you can build that up and know that, hey, I've got a firm foundation. You know, I'm not teetering too much. So, because there's a couple of things. There's things that we don't always realize. It's one thing to know the Word of God. But we also have the God of the Word living in us. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing when we can read all about God and we can even meditate on it. And that's good. And we need to. But we also have to realize who he is. Mm-hmm. See, that he is faithful. Yes. That he cannot lie. He's totally reliable, trustable. Mm-hmm. See, he is God.
Yes.
And when we realize that he is, he doesn't have love, he is love.
Yes.
You know, he can't be anything else but love. And that doesn't mean he looks over your sin and just says, forget it, because that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is someone that is, you know, doesn't rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness.
Yes.
But he rejoices when right truth prevails.
Mm-hmm.
See, love is, that's not real love. Love sets a standard. Love sets a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And God has set his standard of his word. And yes, when we obey his word, and sometimes we have to just do it by faith because we don't have any feeling at all. Hallelujah. You know, but it's by faith. What we put our faith in God, the feelings come at the end. You know, they may catch up to us eventually. You know, but even if they don't, we still obey his word because we know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It can't fail. It cannot stop. Nothing can stop. And sometimes, you know, I've had times I had no clue anything's going to happen. I'm just praying and praying and boom, all of a sudden, you know, it took place. Wow, it happened. Gee, woo, glory, you know. You know, not that I wasn't glorying in it before that. And we should, you know, and it shouldn't really surprise us that his word, you know, that it took place. But I didn't know when it was going to happen. It didn't look like it was going to happen tomorrow, but it did. You know, to me, it just seemed like I'm just standing with the word. I'm standing on these things. And then, boom, God moved. So we can't judge anything by our experience or by our feeling, mm-hmm. but by what his word said mm-hmm. and who he said he is.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we recognize that is as much important as what he said. Not just, you know, and who said it? God said it. Sometimes we forget that. Well, it said here in Acts, you know, you know, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, well, yes, but God is the one saying these things. God is the one that gave the promise. Okay, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, verse 3. It said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And so, and then he goes on, he says, beside this, giving all diligence. We give all diligence to add to our faith the virtue knowledge. But my point here is, as we were talking about knowing Him, it says, according to His divine power, which is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. Not just the knowledge of what He said, but the knowledge of God. And some of those are things that we have to grow in as we know Him. See, when I started walking with God, I didn't know God would ever have a joke with me. I just didn't. I didn't think He, you know, but He will. He'll start playing with it, you know. And sometimes I know. I'll see it come. You'll say, well, see, the Holy Ghost is my friend. Mm-hmm. And people think I'm kidding. I said, He's getting ready to come. I said, He's coming. You know, and sometimes He'll do some things just because He loves people. Mm-hmm. He'll tickle you. Mm-hmm. He'll bless you. Mm-hmm. He'll come upon you. Mm-hmm. You know, He'll manifest Himself in ways that we can have at any time. You can have that in your own prayer time. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He blesses us. He's come with exceeding great and precious promises. You know, according to His divine nature, He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. And we have escaped it. We received that nature from Him. But here He's saying we become that partaker. In other words, we begin to partake through that divine nature that He has given to us. And we begin to understand that nature that's within us, which is greater than this world. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a nature that we receive from God. It's not something that, you know, was small. And I know we hear about it, you know. Well, you got a new nature. Well, yes, but it's a divine nature. It's God's nature. Yeah. It's the very life of God. It's the very nature of God. The very, what we would say, Zoe, you know. That's the life of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. It's something deeper than we don't always think about all the time. The greatness of that. When you hear something sometimes over and over, we forget that nature. See, it's already set us free. We were already so set free from sin. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's the first place. Then, you know, we can give diligence to the Lord and add to our faith, you know, add to virtue that knowledge and the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, love or charity or love in action, you know. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Good news today. The Word of God will not. We can literally be transformed. You know, it says, do not be conformed. That means don't remain the same. Don't be conformed in this world. If there's somewhere in our life that we're conformed to the world, we can be transformed by the renewing of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We got to think differently. If we think in the same thing, you're going to get the same result. You know, but so if we think on what God's saying, we're going to get God's result. That's why a lot of times people ask me, well, how come you're praying, you know, like that? Well, because I'm going to pray according to the Word of God because I want Bible answers.
Yes.
I don't want my answers. I want God's answers.
Mm-hmm.
See, God answers sickness with health. He answers poverty with more than enough.
Yes. Yes.
Now that answer might come in the form of a job. You know, I know one guy, he didn't know, you know, some of the guys were going to stop and, well, how's God? I've been asking God for increase. You know, when I went to Rhema, you know, and I've been asking God for increase, all I get is job offers. Well, God's trying to increase you, you know. He's trying to increase you, you know. I know we've had a few guys at the prayer center, and so I said, well, I mean, if you're not working, you lost your job, get up here and pray. You know, most of them, they'll start praying every day. They go up there just like a job, and they start praying. It was not very long before they got a job.
Exactly.
The devil didn't like what they were doing, see. But they were seeking God, really. God gave them a job. God blessed them. It didn't take very long. You know, so we know that the word works, and we know that these foundations work. You know, prayer, hallelujah. We're racking that up again here real shortly. I know we're doing good. We're praying at home. Don't forget tomorrow night at 7, Wednesday at noon, Thursday at noon. You know, and we're praying, you know, for the COVID to cease, you know, Wednesday night. You know, we're also praying for the youth meetings. Amen. We have youth meetings every other Wednesday. Keep praying with that. Amen. You know, keep praying for revival in this city. Powers of the enemy are being broken. We have the glory of God filling the earth, you know, filling the city. Glory to God. Amen. The church.
Yes.
We're going to be a place that's a light to the world.
Yes,
people are going to be drawn.
Yes, we are.
Just by that light. See, if you get a fire going, how many ever seen a fire? Seen a fire start somewhere? You know, if somebody's house catch on fire, it's not very long the whole neighborhood standing around.
Yeah.
They may not be right up close like the firemen, but they're standing around. Everybody knows when the fire's going. If we catch fire, I promise you, people will come.
Amen.
They will start coming to that fire.
Yeah.
So, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. So, if there's any areas in your life that you feel like any of those things are lacking, you know, meditating the Word of God, maybe you're not doing that. Well, start thinking about that. And if you need scriptures to think on, I'll give you some. I'll give you one right now. Matter of fact. Hallelujah. Mark 5:36. Second half says, be not afraid, only believe. That'd be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 5:36, be not afraid, only believe. You know, of course, we know 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of fear, power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. There's three verses right there. This would be a good time to meditate on them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's a great start.
Yes.
You know, and if you need help in some area, you know, you say, well, I need some scriptures, Pastor Dick. Can you help me find some? I want you to try to find some, but I'll help you find some more if you need it. Okay? The reason I say it, it's good for you to open your Bible and look. There's a concordance in most Bibles, and they can give you at least 3 or 4 scriptures that are really good to help you get started. And hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Father God, that you'll grace us to continue to press into you, to meditate your word, to pray, to worship, to fast as you lead us, Lord, and to just press into you, to know you, Lord, not just about you, but to know your word, Father, which speaks all about you, Lord, but it also gives us your promises. And Lord, that we're not just looking for the handout, but we're looking to know you. Father, Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings, that we could be conformed to you, even unto your death. Lord, that we'd be conformed to Jesus. Oh, Father. Father, forgive us, Lord, any areas where we have drawn back or we've been slack, and help us to know that you love us right where we are today. That, Lord, it's not a condemnation, but just an encouragement, Lord, because we love you so much. We want to know you more. We want to understand your ways, Father. Lord, Moses knew your ways. He knew you face to face. How much more us, Lord, that we're your temple and that you live in us, that we can know you face to face, Lord. Thank you, Father, for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for encouraging us this morning, Father, to recommit ourselves to these things, Lord, to to continue to press, Lord, to continue to love you and know that you love us, Father, that you haven't forgotten any of us, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.